Today, Robin Rupley is host of Critics' Choice, VOA's weekly arts program. But earlier in the 1990s, she produced the Mailbag segment, heard on the old VOA morning program. When one listener asked about jazz, Robin turned to VOA's resident expert. Here's Willis Conover talking about his own songwriting and performing efforts.
My songs are mostly sentimental, romantic, and sad. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of one. This one was written very quickly. There's one song that took me 6 months to write, but this one took me about 5 minutes. I was driving from the Voice of America to where I was living, about 5 minutes away, one night, and it was raining, and the windshield wiper was going, don't ding, don't ding, don't ding. So I started coming up with a melody where, dum da dum, ding, dum, ding, da dum, ding, 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 do dum, ding, do dum, and so forth. And when I got home, I wrote some words to fit it. It's called Where Does the Moon Go? And it went, where does the moon go? Why do the stars glow? Ask any question you please. What makes the trees tall? Why does the snow fall? I know the answers to these. But ask me where love goes. Ask me why doors close. Ask me to answer those. I cannot tell. Love is a true word. Love was a new word. Then all I heard was farewell. Well, I wrote it out the best way I could, and
that's beautiful and sad, but yeah. Something that can be identified with worldwide.
Well, this great pianist Bill Evans copied it out on a music sheet and harmonized it properly, and I had copies of that made. And one time, about 15 years ago, something like that, I was going to Bucharest, Romania, and I took a copy along to give to a pianist I knew there. And that's, maybe it was 20 years ago, 25, I've forgotten. But about 10 years later, I got a letter from a Romanian girl who had moved to Holland. Her name was Maiza. Her last name, I'm not sure. And she was making a record and wanted to know if I would give her permission to record this. She said that she learned it from a young gypsy girl who had learned it from the pianist that I had left it with, and she wanted to record it. So
is
I said,
that right?
Of course, by all means. Please send me.
Do you have a recording here?
Yeah, I said, please send me a copy of the record. And I was astounded when I heard it, because here I was just windshield wiper, and 5 minutes or so, and here comes all this almost symphonic instrumentation. And
that's wonderful.
And here's what it sounds like. So all that from a windshield wiper.
How thrilling to hear your words put to music for the first time. That must have been wonderful.
It sure was. Well, one time, Jerry Mulligan recorded a song that he had composed called Night Lights. He played piano, not his usual baritone saxophone. And I liked it and decided to write a lyric for it. And it took me about 6 months to write the lyric because the phrases were fairly short and it didn't sound choppy instrumentally, but the sentences to go with it sounded so brief and choppy.
Yes, hard to write short sentences to convey a thought.
And I finally arrived at a lyric that I thought was okay, and I called Jerry and said, "Hey, Jerry, I got good news for you." He said, "What, Willis?" I said, "I've written a lyric to your Nightlights." And he said, "Oh, that's too bad." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Judy Holliday has written a lyric for it, and I'm going to use that." So I wandered into the lobby of the Algonquin Hotel in New York, which is like a great big living room, and the composer and the music historian, the late Alec Wilder, was sitting there. He wrote some great songs. "It's So Peaceful in the Country," "I'll Be Around," "While We're Young." And in more recent years, he said a lyric to the Thad Jones piece, "A Child Is Born," and many others. In fact, at one time, some of the music he composed was not so much a popular song. So impressed Frank Sinatra that Sinatra arranged for an orchestra to get together, and he conducted the orchestra playing Alec Wilder's music on Columbia Records. But Alec said, "Hey, Willis, what's the trouble?" I told him what had happened. I'd written this, spent 6 months writing this lyric, and Jerry Mulligan couldn't use it. He said, "Do you have the lyric with you?" And I said, "Yeah, here in my pocket." And he looked at it and said, "Hey, do you mind if I write some new music to go with this?" Well, it floored me. And when he did it, I took it, along with another song that I had written, the music for, to Columbia and talked with Tio Macero, who had been a tenor saxophone star but was now an artist and repertoire director, a producer of records, recording Miles Davis Quintet and many others. I said, "Hey, Tio, I got a couple of songs here. Look them over." And he said, "Hey, these are pretty nice. Do you know Charlie Bird, the guitarist?" And I said, "Yeah, I know him. He's from Washington." And I presented him in his first concert in Washington many years ago. And Tio said, "Well, he records for us. Let him look these over, and if he likes them, I'll record you with him." I said, "Hey, Tio, I don't sing." He said, "No, we'll have him and a string ensemble, and you can just recite the words while they're playing." And Charlie Bird looked at it and said, "Yeah, I like it." And the other one, too. So went into the studio, and I recited the words that I had written to Jerry Mulligan's Night Lights, but this time with music that Alec Wilder had written to my words by the Charlie Bird Trio, Charlie on guitar, and I think a couple of French horns in there, but certainly a string quartet at least. I was nervous as can be, but here's the way that came out.
I know the day. I know the night. I know the skyline in early light. The empty streets. Playgrounds, when the kids are gone, the harbor bell, I know them well. What does it mean? how much is real. The things I see, or the things I feel. Perhaps the world is what it seems. Believe your eyes. Forget the dreams. But where's the town I've always known? It looks familiar. A world where I belong. It wasn't right. It wasn't wrong. But it was real. And she was here. And now she's gone. She's gone. She's gone. She's gone.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That was not about anyone in particular, by the way.
That was going to be my next question. Who were you thinking of when you wrote that?
No, it's just something we all go through as we're growing up.
Wow.
That's the way the songs come out. Sad, sentimental, can't
yes.
help it.
Well, you know, that is a universal appeal. That's what people identify with because everyone goes through it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, on the other side was a piece of music that I had composed, the music.
Mm-hmm.
And Alec Wilder gave it a lyric, but I didn't use the lyric. It gave it the title, Far Off, Close By. Originally, I called it Chaplin-esque because it was inspired by a movie that Charlie Chaplin had made called City Lights. But then a record came out of another song by somebody else and it was called Chaplin-esque, so I couldn't use that, and I decided to call it The Blind Girl, which is what the movie is about, this little tramp and this blind flower girl. And she thinks he's rich. And the movie has always upset me every time I've seen it. I saw it so many years ago. And
why is that?
Well, because at the very end, he goes to jail trying to get money to send her to the hospital to have her eyes worked on, and it works. So he comes out of the jail, finally, and there she is with another young woman with a flower shop, and she can see, and he's looking at her with a strange look on his face, and she offers him a flower, and he takes it, and she feels his hand. When I see it, I can hardly breathe the last 5 minutes of this, and she says, "It's you." He says, "Yes. You can see now?" She said, "Yes." And he just looks at her with this expression on his face about what's going to happen now. She knows that I'm just a tramp, and what's she going to think of me? And the movie ends. And it affected me so strongly. I remember telling Adolf Green, a songwriter, about it, and he said, "Oh, yeah, that's my greatest production." He didn't produce it, but that's what he meant. That it moved him so much. So, anyway, Alec's lyric, which I did not use, I simply whistled the melody over the Charlie Bird Trio and the strings. I used his title, Far Off, Close By. And this is the way that sounds.
As I was listening to that, I was picturing a film that could so easily be adapted to a movie. That's a beautiful song, Willis.
Thank you.
Do you find it harder to write the music or the lyrics?
Hard to say. I mean, it takes more time to write a lyric. I asked Richard Rodgers, of Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein, once, since he had done both. And he said it's like the difference between a painting and graphic art. This is setting different things in place for the words, whereas the melody is like an overall painting. It depends. If a melody occurs to me, I write it down using the letters of the scale rather than the notes, and I get a musician to write the notes out properly and to play the harmony that I want for it, to mark the harmonies down too. The words, as I said, that first song, it took me 5 minutes, and the second one that you heard took me about 6 months, so I just wasn't satisfied. I've written many other songs too, but I don't have them on record. So some things come easily some things don't.
Well, how fortunate for our listeners who have listened to you play music of different jazz musicians for years and years, but I don't know how often they've heard songs that you've written yourself. So this is quite a treat.
Thank you.
One last question. Getting back to our listeners' question, would you say that jazz has changed from, let's say, 50 years ago to now?
Jazz is a living music, and anything that is alive grows and changes, just as we grow and change. So it changes all the time. But it's based on our memories and our cultural heritage and how we feel about it. And that changes. So it has its roots in the music of a half century ago and music that came along since then. Depends what the musician has heard and what the musician wants to do with it once he or she has heard it. It changes because it's living music. What we call classical music today is simply the music that has survived from 18th and 19th century Europe. There were improvisers then.
Right.
Johann Sebastian Bach would improvise at the organ. And other people would say, why doesn't he play it the way it was written? And of course, they didn't have recording equipment then, so after he was finished, sometime he was saying, what did I do there? And he'd write it down on a piece of paper. So that's how that has survived, on paper. We have recording equipment, so we're able to record these many different changes. Anyway, when we play classical music, most of the time it's supposed to be played the way it is on the music sheet, the score. If you're improvising, if you're playing jazz, you're improvising within the framework of what you've agreed upon in advance with the other musicians. Will be the harmonic progression. It's going to be the blues, or I Got Rhythm, or All the Things You Are, or How High of the Moon, or Stardust, or what's it going to be?
Yeah, so it is, in fact, improvisation.
Yeah, right. But still relating to the original song.
Right. Are there any contemporary jazz musicians that you see a bright future for today?
Very much so. There's the young group, the Harper Brothers Quintet. There's an alto saxophonist named Christopher Holliday. Quite a few around who are trying to make music, not just to record something that'll sell fast and then disappear. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that the music that has the quickest appeal and the broadest possible audience, the broader it is, the shallower it is. I prefer something that has a relatively narrower appeal and is therefore taller and deeper.
And more long-lasting.
The best of it, yes.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by today, Willis. This has been enlightening and a lot of fun.
Thank you, Robin. Very nice for me, too.
Willis Conover being interviewed by VOA's Robin Rupley.